Of your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. If there's a man or two that's available on Tuesday afternoon, we could use some help with a couple of things we need to do. We need to get some outside decorations up and a couple other things. If you're available, see me after the service. Let me know. Romans chapter 9. Put your finger there. Go to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. I'm going to look at a couple of verses there. Just one verse, really. In Isaiah 64. While you're finding those, I came across this Christmas story. It was coming up to Christmas. And in the courtroom, this judge is kind of in a Christmas spirit, you know. He's getting in the mood. And the defendant comes and the judge looks at him and says, "Tell me, what's the charge against you?" And the guy said, "Well, Judge, I was caught doing my Christmas shopping very early." And the guy looked, the judge looked at him and he said, "Well, don't seem like an offense to me. What do you mean by very early?" He said, "Well, before the store was open." Then the lady went to the post office to buy her stamps for her Christmas cards. And the clerk said, "Well, what denomination do you want?" The lady said, "Good grief," she said, "has it come to that? I guess you better give me some Catholic and some Presbyterian and some Methodist." Christmas time, they let them all out. I'm convinced. All right, we're in Romans, 9th chapter. I'm going to begin at verse 14. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.' So then is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, 'Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" And this will be our text. "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor?" And then hold your place there. Go back to Isaiah 64. One verse. Verse 8. Isaiah 64. We find this. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." Lord, bless this time now as we spend this these few minutes in your word. There are principles, precepts, truths that are so needed by us today. And Lord, your word is the lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is powerful. It's our offensive weapon of armor. And now as your word is preached, we pray that you would use it to your praise and glory. You said it would not return void unto you, that it would accomplish that you send it to. There are needs in this room today, spiritual needs, heartfelt needs. No doubt there are unsaved people in our midst who need Christ. They need to realize today they're sinners, they're lost, they're on their way to hell, and the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And they need to take that step of opening their heart and receiving Him, calling upon Him, opening the door to their heart and life. that they might have eternal life. And as believers, we need to see the truths here and apply them to our lives and not be hearers only, doers of the word. That, Lord, you might be pleased, glorified in our lives. Help me to bring the messages you would have me to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've titled this, Clay in the Master's Hands. Clay in the Master's Hands. How did it come out up there? A little darker than I like. You know, becoming a Christian is the most dynamic thing that can ever take place in a person's life. Now, I know there are many events that occur in our lives that have a profound effect on our lives. Many of us can look back at a particular event in our lives and recognize what a difference that event made. Maybe it made a difference for the better, sometimes for the worse. However, I submit to you this morning, there is no event that we can experience in our life that is as life-changing as the salvation experience. When a person gets saved, the Bible teaches that we become a new creature. God does not just clean up the old one of us. We don't just turn over a new leaf. But at that instant of salvation, according to the Bible, a new creature is born. Jesus said we must be born again. Not reformed, not cleaned up spiritually, but we must be born spiritually and born into the family of God and become new creatures in Christ. Now, when a person becomes born again, God begins at that point to mold and shape that individual. Ultimately, the Bible says, to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, when you get saved, from the point of your salvation till you go home to glory, God is trying to mold and shape you to be more like Jesus. Now, in this molding and shaping, He uses various methods and works at various times, smoothing sometimes, changing sometimes, polishing, shaping us according to His will, His plans, His purposes. That brings me to this. That means that every one of us are then designer models. We are one of a kind, created in Christ, molded and shaped by Almighty God Himself to be exactly what He wants us to be. Somebody once said to me one day, God didn't make cookie-cutter Christians. And He didn't. We're all alike in many ways, but we're all individual in many ways as God molds us and shapes us. Sadly, there are many Christians who are not becoming more of what God wants them to be in their Christian lives. These are believers who are resisting God. Amen. Resisting God and refusing to be conformed or molded or shaped by Him. Today in our text, the Apostle Paul uses the illustration of the potter and the clay to remind us what our relationship with the Lord ought to be. We ought to be clay in His hands. We who are saved are to see ourselves as mere clay and God as the potter of the clay. As clay, we then are to be completely pliable, moldable, so that the Master might make us into the vessel He wants each of us to be. We are not to be self-willed, self-centered, or self-serving. But we are to be simply to be clay in the Master's hands that God can make us what pleases Him. All we can be, all we want to be, hope to be for Him must come by His molding and His shaping. May I remind you today, if you're a believer, God has a plan, a purpose, a particular design for your life. But in order to find that and be that, we must all see ourselves as clay in God's hands. This morning I want to share with you some reasons why we must see ourselves as clay in God's hands. Number one, because like clay, we must be sought out by the Master. We need to see ourselves as clay in God's hands because, like clay, we have to be sought out by the potter or the Master. Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10, a very interesting statement. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Think about clay with me for a minute. You know, in order to have clay, the potter must go and find the clay. The clay don't go looking for the potter. If the potter wants the clay, he must go find it. If you know anything about clay, to get clay, you've got to go out there among the dirt and the rocks and other things because it's mixed in. I remember one time as a youngster, we were staying with one of my aunts for a brief period, and she had this big hillside in her backyard, trees and everything, and of course for boys, that's right down our pike, right? And we were out there playing the army and all that stuff, you know, whatever we could do. And we decided we were digging foxholes or something. I don't remember why we started digging, but we hit clay. Man, we thought we hit a gold mine. Hey, we got clay. Look at this stuff. Maybe you can mold it and shape it, you know, and all kinds of stuff. We thought we can get this and sell it. Well, that didn't work. But here it is among the dirt and the trees and the leaves, and all, you know, just out there, we found clay. You see, that's where clay comes from. And the potter must go looking for, seeking the clay. It has to be something you do on purpose. You've got to have a desire to have clay to get it. As I said, the clay don't come looking for the potter. The potter comes looking for the clay. And the application there I want you to see is, as our potter, God must come looking for us. See, when God found you, if you're saved, He found you mixed in among all the other dirt and rocks and things of this world, all the other people of the world. You were just mixed in like the clay is. But you know, as the potter goes, he'll gather his clay from every kindred and tribe and nation and tongue. We're sought after by the Master. He loves us and comes looking for us. The fact is, as clay, we can't seek Him. When's the last time you had a lump of clay showing up at your front door seeking you? No, the potter has to come seeking us. We're like the clay. We're just a bunch of dirty, filthy, rotten sinners out there, like everybody else among the world. We're just clay out there, mixed in. And we can't seek Him because the Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. He comes looking for us. If you're saved here today, you're saved not because you went looking for God one day. You're saved because one day God came looking for you. You're saved because God put His Holy Spirit on your trail, and His Holy Spirit kept working on you and convicting you and showing you you're a sinner who needs a Savior. That's how you got saved. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. As clay, He has to come looking for us. I'm so glad that way back in 1974 He came looking for me. I couldn't go to Him, but He could come to me. And now I'm just clay in the Master's hands. I'm a big lump of clay that He came and sought out and bought it with the price, the blood of His own precious Son. I'm clay in His hands. We need to see ourselves as clay in God's hands, number one, because we've got to be sought out by the Master. Listen, if you're saved, you ought to thank God every day that He came looking for you. You ought to thank God every day that God loved you enough to send His Son and seek you out. If you're not saved, you need to come to Him today because you have no eternal life. You will not see heaven. You cannot see heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, salvation is a gift, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift He offers to us, but in order to have it, we must accept it. If you've never accepted that gift, you do not have eternal life. I don't say that to be mean, I say it to be honest, but you can have eternal life today if you'd be willing to open your heart and receive that gift of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Like clay, we have to be sought out by the Master. He came seeking the lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But there's a second reason. Number two, we need to see ourselves as clay in God's hands because like clay, we're of no value in our natural state. You ever think about that? Oh, there we have. No value in our natural state. Psalm 103, verse 14. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I want to read what the Scripture says. It says, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Dr. Hayes was here several years ago preaching. He said, we're nothing but a bunch of animated dirt balls. We're nothing but dust. We came from dust, we're going to dust. Reminds me of a little story about the kid who came down to his mom. He said, Mom, didn't you tell me that people, when they die, they go to be dust? She said, yeah. He said, well, there's somebody who died up under my bed. I don't know if they're coming or going. Dust! How much value is there in dust? We're just dust. We're a bunch of dirt. We're like clay in its natural state, and the fact is clay in its natural state has no value. When I say natural state, I'm talking about out there in the field. In order to be valuable, clay has to be dug and removed and refined and shaped. Here's the truth. If you do any planting or digging, you know that clay is actually a nuisance. You go to plant a garden, you don't want clay. You know, it hinders the water flow and there's no nutrition in it and all that. It's a nuisance. When you find soil that has a high content of clay, it's looked down on, it's rejected. It's not good for much. And that reminds me of how we in our natural state really have no value. Apart from Christ and His work in our life, the work of salvation, we're just sinners who have nothing to offer God. And really, we have nothing of any eternal value. In our natural state, we're going to live a few years. For some, it's just a few. For some, it's longer. For some, like Charlie Jones, it's centuries. Amen. But we're just going to live a little while and then we're going to die. It's appointed of all men once to die. And if we just live our natural life here, never getting saved, never knowing the Lord, we're going to pass off this scene and nothing we've done is really going to be of any value. We're going to leave it all behind. Man left in his natural state has no value spiritually. And by the way, left to ourselves, we can do nothing for God. We have nothing of value to offer God. Apart from Him, we're just like a big lump of clay. Boy, if I had a big lump of clay up here, what could it offer me? That's how we are. So we need to see ourselves as clay in God's hands, number one, because the clay, like clay, we have to be sought out. And like clay, we have no value in our natural state. But number three, we need to be shaped. Just like clay has to be shaped, we have to be shaped by the potter's hands. See yourself as clay in God's hands. Why? Because we need to be shaped by the potter's hands. Hath not the potter power over the clay, Paul says. You know, when he says that, here's what he's saying. Clay is pliable and accepting of the potter's will for it. Clay has no will of its own. If I had a big lump of clay up here, that clay is not going to look at me and say, I want to be a bowl. That clay is not going to say to me, I want to be a pitcher. It has no will. The clay is surrendered, if you will, to the will of the potter. It's the potter who determines what the clay is going to be. We need to be that way in the potter's hands. Clay is pliable. It's accepting of whatever the potter has for it. And when the potter shapes the clay, he shapes it for his purposes. He makes the clay into a vessel that will be useful and of value to him. Did you get that? He's taking this lump of clay that has no value, and he's going to mold it and shape it and make it of something that's valuable. But the value is going to be to him. What he wants. What his will is for it. And by the way, he molds that clay into a variety of shape. The potter don't make every lump of clay into the same shape. I said we're all different in a lot of ways. But he does it according to his will. Clay has no say in it. And as believers, we need to understand that we need to allow ourselves to be molded and shaped, not according to our will, but according to his will. Listen, it's not about what I want for my life. It's not about what I want as an occupation or it's about what do you want? I'm clay. Mold me and shape me. But how many Christians have that kind of a spirit? How many of us are willing to be molded and shaped by the Master? We resist Him. Now I know clay can't resist, and that's where my analogy breaks down, but we can resist. We have that ability to not surrender to the potter's hands. And all too often, that's how we are. We're not clay in the master's hands. We're more like stone. Where he wants to mold and shape us, but we're hard. We're more like ice. We're cold. And the potter says, I just can't do anything with this one. I want to, but this one's hard. This one's not moldable and shapeable. See, we need to allow ourselves to be molded and shaped. See, I mentioned before, God has a plan for every one of us. When He puts our lump of clay on that wheel and begins to mold and shape us, He already has an intent for us. I just read Psalm 139 this morning and how David says how God knew him before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. God knew you. And God has a plan and a purpose for you. By the way, only you can fulfill that plan and purpose. God has a place in His work for you in whatever kind of vessel He molds and shapes you into. Believe it or not, God needs you. Why would God need you, me? Because God works through human vessels. He has a place for every one of us as the potter. He's molding us and shaping us to fulfill that place and be that which He wants us to be. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And if we yield ourselves, listen, He will conform us perfectly to what He has for us to do. If God has for us to be a pitcher in His plan or a bowl in His plan, He's going to mold us and shape us exactly as we need to be to fulfill that purpose. Carry that over into the human realm. Whatever we need to be to fulfill the purpose of God in our life, if we will just yield ourselves to Him, He will make us into whatever we need to be. It's often said, God does not call the enabled, He enables the called. Our yearning and desire ought to be that we might be exactly what God wants us to be to fulfill His will and His desires for our life. We ought to have that yearning just to be clay in the Master's hands. We need to see ourselves as clay in His hands, number one, because like clay, we've got to be sought out. Number two, because like clay, we have no value in our natural state. Number three, because like clay, we've got to be shaped by the potter's hand. Number four, like clay, we must be softened by the water. Have you ever seen a potter working? The potter has water right there. And as they mold and shape, they continue to take that water and apply it. It's a part of the molding and shaping process. The water. That potter takes that water and he puts it on that vessel, whatever he might be making, to smooth out the rough spots and take away the imperfections and to create on that whatever vessel he's making a perfect finish. You know, the potter applies water to the clay also, that it might be more pliable and more conforming. See, he puts that water on there and it softens up the clay a little bit. Maybe it's too stiff and too hard to be formed into exactly what God wants and so the potter wants. And so he takes a little bit of water and he puts it there and it softens it up. And now, okay, now we're getting where we need to be. In its original state, the clay is stiff and hard to mold. Putting that little bit of water on softens and it becomes easier to work with. I want you to understand something this morning. The potter uses the water on us, but the water he uses is the water of his word. God takes his word and uses it to soften our hearts so that we can be molded and shaped into what he wants us to be. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Listen, His Word gets where nobody else can get, nothing else can get, to soften our hearts and prick our hearts and melt that icy cold in our hearts. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 9, he knew the importance of the Word of God in our hearts. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God uses His Word to soften us. You see, when we get ourselves into this book, and I mean really get into it, not just read a verse every day, but to really get into the book and read the book seriously, we will find that this Word, as we read it, will soften us to His will. It will help us to become more pliable to, Lord, what do You want for me? His Word will also point out the imperfections that need smoothed out in our life. I'm sure you've had the experience, if you're a serious reader of the Bible, how you'd be reading along and everything's hunky-dory and you're getting blessed and all of a sudden God slaps you upside the head with something that needs to change in your life. God says, hey, what about this? Huh? The imperfections. James says His Word is like a looking glass. And when the fellow who looks in the looking glass and sees the imperfection doesn't change anything is a fool. Most of you look like you looked in the looking glass this morning. What do you mean, preacher? You looked in the mirror. How do you know that? I can tell. A couple of you I'm wondering about. See, when we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, we say, oh my goodness. I got to do something with that. And you ladies, you get out the paint and the powder and, you know, and all that stuff and start slapping it on and fixing the hair and everything. Pretty soon, hey, looks a lot better than it did. Amen? But you wouldn't have known that if you didn't look in the mirror. When we read the Word of God, it's like a mirror and it reflects to us the imperfections that need changed. And it's through His Word that we're able to be fashioned and made into usable vessels for Him. Lastly, We need to see ourselves as clay in the Master's hands. Because we have great potential in the Master's hands. Verse 21 of Romans 9. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? We have the ability to be made into vessels unto honor. In the potter's hand, what was once of no real value, what was of little worth and could do nothing of itself, has now become a vessel to be used and valued. Sometimes you see these vases, or some people call them vases, bowls, just different kinds of vessels, cups, whatever. And sometimes we find out, hey, that particular bowl or vase or cup or jar, or whatever it might be, sold for millions of dollars. Somebody along the line had molded and shaped it, and for some reason it became very valuable. But here's the point. What was once just an invaluable, totally useless, so to speak, lump of clay was molded and shaped and made into something that now is so valuable. And that's what God does with us. He can make us of great value. I'm not talking about dollar value. I'm talking about value for Him. God desires to make us into vessels of honor. Not only can we be, God wants to make us into vessels of honor. Vessels in His hands. But we must be the clay in His hands. Pliable. Yielded. Willing. Clay in the Master's hands to do with as He sees fit. Not arguing with the potter. Allowing Him to mold and shape us into what He wants us to be. Not having a will of our own. His will. Whatever He wants. I am Thine, O Lord. That's where we need to be. I wonder this morning, as we think about this idea of us being clay in the Master's hands, do you see yourself as clay in His hands? Do you see yourself as moldable, pliable, yielded to the Master's will, not your own? That's where we need to be as believers. That's what God wants of us as believers. To follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, not my will, but Thy will be done, O Lord. Where He said He came not to do His will, but the will of His Father which has sent Him. Listen, when you got saved, God sought you out. You were just a lump of clay and God sought you out. And when He sought you out, He saw in you, He sees in you a vessel unto honor. That's His will for you. But unlike clay, He gives us the ability to have our own will. And in order to be molded and shaped like He wants us to be, we must surrender our will and yield to His will and let Him mold and shape as He sees fit. Have you been there? Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I said we need to see ourselves as clay in the Master's hands, and first of all, we need to see ourselves as having been sought out by Him. We're just all a bunch of clay mixed in with the world. And the potter has to come take us out of that world. We can't take ourselves out. But God has offered us a way of salvation, and only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. Your religion will not get you to heaven. Your good works will not get you there. The Bible declares very clearly, It's simply by faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It's a gift from God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many in this room could raise a hand in all honesty and say, "Preacher, I have received the gift of salvation. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Here's my hand as a testimony." Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I've made that decision. I've opened my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. You can put it down. I wonder, are there some folks here this morning say, "Preacher, I've never done that." You might say, "I'm a good person and I'm a moral person and I'm a religious person. I go to church, but I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and called upon Him and asked Him to come into my heart and into my life." Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He's waiting for you to invite Him into your heart and your life to save you. I wonder if there's somebody or several here this morning say, "Preacher, I've never done that, but I want to do it today. I need to do it today. I need to get saved. I want to have eternal life. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know I belong to God. Here's my hand, preacher. Would you pray for me? I'd be glad to. I won't call your name and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Would you simply slip up your hand and let me know, yes, I need to be saved today. I want to be saved today. Here's my hand, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me." God loves you and Jesus died for you and He'll save you if you just come to Him. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Christian, are you clay in the Master's hands? Are you on the potter's wheel, just allowing Him to mold and shape you as He sees fit? Are you more like a rock on that wheel? Not moldable, not shapeable, hard, cold like an ice cube that God's not really able to do much with. I wonder how many would testify, in all honesty now, "Preacher, I believe and I'm testifying before the Lord, I believe I am clay in the Master's hands. I believe I am yielded to His will, allowing Him to mold and shape me according to His will. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up? I can testify to that. I believe I am." You can put it down. How many believers now would say, "Preacher, I haven't been moldable like I ought to be. I have not allowed God to mold and shape me like He wants me to. He's tried and He's tried to work in areas of my life where I've shut Him out. His Word has revealed things to me that ought to change and I've refused to change. Preacher, this morning God is convicting me. I need to yield myself as clay in the Master's hands. I need to yield myself completely to His will. That's my prayer today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I see hands going up all over the room. I need to yield to His will. Let Him have His way, not my way. I've been hard. I've been cold. I want it to change. I want to be submitted to God's will. Here's my hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. Hands going up. God speaking to you. God speaking to you. Let's stand together. 485? 485, "Have thine own way, Lord." Here's the invitation. If you need to be saved, when we start to sing, as soon as we start, you come. You need to be saved. I'll meet you right here. That won't save you. But I'll shake your hand and I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take that Bible over here. Take it to a quiet place. Open the Bible and show you how you can be saved. How you can know from the Bible that you have eternal life. Christian friend of mine, God spoke to your heart. You know what He's dealing with you about. Come. Just come to the altar and do business with Him. You don't have to tell us or make a speech or anything. You just come. It's between you and the Lord. Get it settled today. Be clay in His hands. Let Him make you a vessel unto honor. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for that illustration Paul gives us of what we need to be. Clay in the Master's hands. Speak to hearts, move in lives here today. Save that one that's here without Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today as we sing? God